and you keep speaking the words to yourself. He's not against repetition in your personal private life meditation, but he's against vain repetition. That means they are repeated just for people to hear. Vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Then in verse 8 he says, Do not be like them. We are different, he says. Do not be like them. For your Father knows the things that you have need of before you ask Him. Then he says, in this manner therefore pray. And towards the end of that section on prayer, he again talks about fasting too, and in verse 18, he emphasizes the same thing. So that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Three times he emphasizes this. He says, do it in secret before God in your heart, and your Father will reward you openly. He emphasized three times. He's bringing forth the principle that between being and doing is the motivation as to why we do it. What's the reason for us to do it? And everything we do, we got to examine. Is it born out of love? Or is it born out of seeking recognition? Or is it born of seeking attention? Now, a lot of these areas can creep into any organization, to any church structure. And so constantly, we have to examine our motives. Why we do those things. Now, to Jesus, true Christianity is measured in the heart and in the motivation. Think about that. If our motivation is incorrect, everything else will be incorrect. If our motivation is correct, where we only do it as unto God, then everything else will flow. Plus, here's a blessing, God will reward you. What kind of motives should we have? And I want to emphasize again, we, no matter how long Christianity has been, nearly 2,000 years of church history, no matter how big the church grows, no matter how complicated our lives become, no matter how many theological terms we learn and how many principles we add of the Word of God into our life, remember there are only two commandments that are vital, that tie every other thing together. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy mind, all thy soul, and all thy strength. And thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. If any other principle or lesson or teaching that we have does not pass through these two, something is wrong with them. Something is wrong with them. I mean, I'm sure sometimes, let me give just an example. For example, you begin to learn about the authority of Jesus, the power of Jesus, and all that Jesus has done. And then as you learn all these wonderful teachings and all the power of the blood, the power of the name, the power of the Spirit, and you become puffed up and you become very authoritative, and you go around, you know, in a very authoritative way, but you forgot to love your neighbor as yourself. I think that principle is a bit rough edge. It needs to be smoothed out. So sometimes we get carried on off by a side principle, and we got so deep into the side principle that we become, quote unquote, rude, very brash, and very inconsiderate, and very bad temper, like a bull charging into a china shop. And we begin to behave that way. Then I question the Christianity. I would dare question the Christianity. Because I said, again, from Jesus, have we strayed away from the principles of Jesus? We have. We have. Because we must not run further than this. You can have all the authority and understand everything you want, but put it under the two guiding principles. Do you love God with all your heart, mind, soul and strength? Do you love your neighbor as yourself? Because if you love your neighbor as yourself, you wouldn't be rude to them. Yes, you can have your authority, but you wouldn't be a rude authoritarian person. You'll be a very gentle authoritarian person. That's the difference of Jesus. So any principle in Christian life can be pulled apart minus the two main commandments and we are gone. We become no different than the Pharisees. We just cloth ourselves with modern methodology and a modern Phariseeism that Jesus opposes. Just on the quote from 1 Corinthians chapter 13 on love. And sometimes people say, well, some people, they go around, they say, oh, I love God, I love God. But in their heart of hearts, do they really love God? Let me tell you this. If you love God, and the love of God is in your life, you become very tender and compassionate. I don't see how you can love God and don't love people. I don't see how you can love God and be rude to people. I don't see that. Because sometimes we say things that we don't really know. We think that we know. Just like Peter who told Jesus, oh, I will go to the cross, I will die for you. But he doesn't know what he's saying. He doesn't know his own heart. And when he came to the chance to die for Jesus, he denied Jesus. That's why Jesus says, what is in the secret place of our heart? 1 Corinthians 13 tells us what true love is. Because sometimes people say, I love God, I love God. Well, this is what the love of God is talking about. In verse 4, love suffers long. It's kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. There you see the words. You cannot love and be rude. And it says, does not seek its own. It's not provoked. Thinks no evil. In other words, he doesn't even think that others are always evil towards them. I mean, that's for God to think about. For us, we just got to keep thinking loving thoughts to people. So what other people think of you, that's their business. But what you think of them is your business. Thinks no evil. Look at this standard of love in the Bible. And it says, does not rejoice in iniquity. When sin or something happens, you do not rejoice. But you weep for those people. And it says, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believe all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. This is the standard of God's love. When we say we love Him. And we love others as Jesus loved them too. In verse 3, the strange thing is this. In verse 3. Paul says, if I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not love, it profits it nothing. Is Paul talking about a hypothetical case or real thing? Look at what he says in verse 3. Give everything to the poor, give your body to be burned, and don't have love. Looks hypothetical, but to a certain extent, it is possible. Because even in India, which is a custom that they have banned, when the husband dies, the wife and widow left behind is supposed to jump into the fire and kill herself. If she does it, let's say if she physically does it and commits suicide in the fire, did she really do it out of love? May not be. Is it God's kind of love? May not be. Could be, out of fear. Consequences. Could be many reasons. But I don't judge too much. It's a very sad thing. A sad tradition. But just imagine. The human psyche is so complex. that sometimes people are willing to go to very sacrificial areas, and outwardly it looks good and beautiful and charitable, but only God knows the heart and the reason for doing it. And God tells us that the purest reason that you do anything is you do it because you love God. And you do it because the love of God is in your life and you love people. You love God. You love God's people. You love your neighbor as yourself. That's the purest reason. But the reason I bring 1 Corinthians 13 is to show two things. The quality of the love. When one says, I love God. The other fact is to point to the fact that you can give. You could sacrifice. You could deny yourself, but not out of love. I mean, I do know you can read about many heroic things and high achievers and quote-unquote heroes either in science or in some human endeavor who sacrifice a lot of things for what? They endure hardship for what? Sometimes for fame. Sometimes for the satisfaction that they have conquered and done something. So the human psyche is complex. It can go to a large extent of self-sacrifice. But it's not out of the love for God. It's not counted. I mean, it's admirable by human standard because, you know, a human who looks so selfless. But in God, it is possible to sacrifice and to give without love. But it is not possible to love without giving and sacrifice. That's the interesting part. You can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. For God so loved that He gave His only begotten Son. And if you so love the world, you so love the lost, you will sacrifice time, talent and money to reach them. But the paradox is, you could sacrifice time, talent and money without loving them. Because of some human psyche or some human achievement or heroic effort or recognition. That's a strange thing about a human psyche. And because it's such a fine line. You see, how do you know? For example, you could be just sweeping the floor. But the person sweeping the floor is sweeping it so that everyone will say what a good person he is. Let's say. And wants recognition. And then another person could be sweeping the floor. Well, no, today you don't sweep, you vacuum, okay? Vacuum or sweep, whatever. And in his heart he's saying, Jesus, I'm doing this for you. Jesus, I'm doing this for you. Outwardly, when you look at them, they are no different. After all, the floor is swept, the carpet is vacuumed. But inwardly, one has a reward up there, the other has none. That is a dangerous thought. And just think about the number of things. Now recognize none of us are perfect. As long as you're in this physical body, the flesh tries to creep up every morning and you got to deny yourself every day. And every day we got to refresh our love for Jesus. You cannot depend on the love you had 1 year ago. You have to feel the heartbeat of His love every day, fall in love with Him again every day. It's a fine line. And it's a line that is, what Jesus said, invisible. The secret place in the heart. And then Jesus lays down this principle here. He says in verse 21, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. If your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness?